Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you all and to be back with you. I know that I missed out on not being here a couple of weeks ago. Kent Hartman was here filling in for me that morning for preaching, and Carlton did our Bible class. And then the next week we had a windstorm. And that windstorm knocked out a lot of people's trees and made it so that a lot of people didn't have power. It was one of the craziest things I've experienced. Living in Oregon, we don't get tornadoes and windstorms like that up there. Last week, while a lot of people were trying to deal with power issues and things like that, I knew that I had a dentist appointment. And so I called the dentist to see if they were open, if they had power, and they were running off a generator, and they said, we're in service, so come on over. And so I went to my dentist appointment, and you know, we were chit-chatting with the dental technician, the person who was going to clean my teeth, and they asked if I had lost power or anything like that, and I told her no, and this was different. I'd never experienced anything like this. I sat in my bathroom for about an hour with my dog because that was the safest place for us. We didn't have anywhere else to go, and so I sat in the restroom at 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. till 2 a.m. with my dog, and my dog is staring at me like, why are we in here with the door shut? And finally we were safe enough, saw that the storm had passed through. And I told the dentist I had never experienced anything like that before, and they said, well, what did you think? I said, well, it's better than getting my tooth pulled. And she didn't think that was very funny. So I didn't get a tooth pulled, by the way, it was just cleaning. But still, she didn't think that was very funny. Well, we're here this morning to gather again. You know, we've been off for a week or so without being together. It is just a blessing to be here with each other, to encourage one another and see each other's faces. We are missing a few people. Hopefully, this will be an encouragement to you to get out and check on your neighbor. Check on those that are missing this morning and just call them up and see how they're doing. Maybe they still don't have power. Maybe they're not feeling well. I know we have some that are sick. Let me just encourage us to do that, to be salt and be light to our community this week. Well, I thought I would begin this week with kind of an untypical story. You know me, I like to tell stories to begin with our lesson. This one actually has something directly to do with the Lord's Supper, or not the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Prayer, our lesson this morning, where typically I'll tell a roundabout story, then bring it to the text. But this morning, this actually has to do with our text. We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer this morning. You know, this prayer is quite famous. As I was doing research and looking up information to figure out what I needed to say about this passage, I noticed that in our popular culture, this prayer is very well known. You know, the Lord's Prayer, it used to be used as a timekeeper. This was a way that cooks could time the recipes before everyone had clocks everywhere in their homes. They would use the Lord's Prayer. For example, a recipe might have the length of cooking be simmer the broth for three Lord's Prayers. And so you might recite the Lord's Prayer three times, and then you would know that the broth has simmered long enough. Well, there are also a number of recording artists who have, at one time or another, recorded the Lord's Prayer as its own song or using these words as lyrics to other music. And the number of people that have done this is in the thousands. And as recently as last week, on the quiz game show Jeopardy, the answer to one of these categories, you know, as you know Jeopardy, you get the answer and you have to give the question. And the answer was, Matthew 6:9 says, Our Father, which art in heaven, this be thy name. And like most Jeopardy contestants who are considered geniuses and brilliant, they've memorized so many facts about the world around us, they never seem to get the Bible questions right. They always stump them. And no one even ventured a guess to this answer, this what the question might be. They stood there in silence as the buzzer rang. And if you don't know, the question is, what is hallowed? What is hallowed? So this week, the Sermon on the Mount, when we last met together in our series on walking with Christ through the Sermon on the Mount, we learned about these three pillars of ancient Judaism and the practices that they considered important. We spent our time last time we talked about this, it wasn't last week, but we spent last time on the first part of that, which was giving, when you give to the needy. We talked about Jesus' imperative, when you give to the needy, and in giving, sound no trumpet. Jesus was calling these people to not to boast about their giving, that it was hypocritical to do so. For the ancient Jew, they found this honorable to boast about what they did, about their good deeds. And Jesus was telling them, actually, don't do that. It's actually not honorable. And so the other two pillars are prayer and fasting. And this week we're going to address the second pillar of prayer. And so let's read our passage from the Sermon on the Mount this morning, and then we'll get into some of the details. So if you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read verses 5 through 15 this morning. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. Jesus says this about prayer. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, in this part of the sermon here, Jesus shifts the conversation from giving to this second spiritual discipline of prayer. Prayer, in its most simplest form, its most basic sense, it's a conversation with God. God has a large ear, and He is ready to hear from His children. He's ready to, and He's open to hearing our words to Him. He will hear the prayers of His children. There are statistical surveys that have been taken over the years, and historically it has shown that a large percentage of professing Christians spend very little time in sustained prayer with God. And while we say, yes, prayer is important, we as average Christians don't spend much time communicating with our Father in heaven. Many times our prayers become rote. They become repeated lines that we say every time we pray, and our hearts might not be in the words every time. It's very easy to make people feel guilt about our failures in prayers, and I don't want us to feel that way this morning. So while I do want to talk about this, I want to commend us to praying more and to show us that it shouldn't be something difficult, but actually prayer is something that should bring us joy. It should show the evidence of the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. And so I want to take it there this morning. This passage, it gives us some basic guidelines and principles in praying. Jesus tells us these things about prayer in this section. The first thing that He says is that you should pray sincerely to your Heavenly Father. Pray sincerely. Jesus expects prayer to be part of our regular habit. In the life of a disciple of Jesus, prayer is important. You will notice that Jesus makes a huge assumption in this passage this morning, just like he did in the last. Jesus said, and when you pray, when you pray. Again, this statement brings an idea and it assumes that we will pray. Not if, but when. Just like giving, not if you give to the needy, but when you give to the needy. Here he says, when you pray. We must be a praying people. Jesus here again addresses a hypocritical attitude in prayer, telling his hearer that you don't need to go out and pray in the streets. You don't need to be seen by other people. One way to ask if you're being sincere in your prayer is to ask yourself this question. Do you pray differently in public than you do in private, with your own private time with God? Are your prayers, are they little miniature sermons that you want to deliver to other people and you say them out loud to God? Are they recitations of lists of things and people that you know of? Are your prayers using a particular language? Are they repeating gossip that you've heard and you turned them into prayer? I've heard people pray that way. I don't know if you have or not, you know. Pray for Miss Betty Sue. She's really having problems with her gossip. You know, things like that. They could turn into that, right? We're just repeating gossip. If you answer yes to any of these, then maybe check the motives and the reasons behind why you're praying. So the first thing is to pray sincerely. The second one is to pray secretly. Pray secretly. Jesus doesn't condemn public prayer in this passage. He actually condemns the attitude behind why you might be praying in public. What Jesus is telling us also here is that public prayer is not a substitute for a personal, private, and individual prayer time with God. And because of this, Jesus is saying that when you pray, he says what? Go into your room. Go find a quiet, private place. In our passage, he says, go to your room. Shut the door. And I know someone who actually has a closet in his house that he has converted into his personal place of prayer. I don't know about it because he's bragging about it, and I'm not telling you that for that reason. He's not trying to gain any kind of acceptance or awareness of his personal prayer place. It's just known. You know, people know about it because he uses it so often, and he talks about it. It comes up in conversation. Some of his greatest sermons were developed in this prayer closet as he worshiped God and prayed. He can spend hours in there praying for the people that he knows who need prayer. And so I guess my question is, what are your prayers like when no one is watching? Do you know that you don't have to use a special kind of language or vocabulary when you speak to God? He's not looking for correct grammar. He's not waiting for you to speak to him with the perfect diction or phrases, and that maybe if you stutter, oh, he's not happy with you now. No, I don't believe that there's just one way to pray to God. But something I do believe is that I have to have this conversation with him. And I do that. I have to have a conversation with God where I might say the things that I would as if a friend was sitting there. Because we're told that we are friends with God. And so a lot of times my prayers begin with, ugh, I did it again, God. Because I often catch myself and have to begin my prayers with a confession to him. Number three, pray specifically. You know, Jesus also teaches us about using senseless, empty, mindless phrases, rote incantation-like recitations. This would be Jesus when he's talking about this. He's speaking to some of the pagan religions that were incorporated into their lives. It would often repeat the same words over and over again because they believed in the power of repeating phrases in these pagan religions. They thought there was some magic spell by using these same words over and over again. And although Jesus was devoted to prayer, these were not memorized recitations given at a special or specific time. Jesus' prayers were very intensely personal, often spontaneous. Jesus prayed with expressions of deep communion with God, his Father. He didn't pray honestly like the pagans, using nonsense phrases over and over again. There's not some kind of guarantee made by doing that. God can't be manipulated. is what I'm trying to say. So when you pray, speak to him as though you know that he's there, and talk to him. God knows what you need even before you ask for it. But still, tell him specifically what you need and what you would like prayers for. In Isaiah 65, verse 24, he writes, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear." Talk to God like you are one of his children. Because as followers of Jesus, as saved people of the kingdom of heaven, you are. You are. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. He's there. He's ready to hear you. So why then does Jesus say to his disciples, when you pray, say this? You know, in Luke 11, we get this same prayer, but from a different context. Luke presents this prayer like this. He says, "Now when Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.' And John taught his disciples, and he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" You know, this prayer, this special Lord's Prayer, both in Matthew and Luke, it serves two purposes. First, it's providing a model prayer, an example, an easily memorized outline that we can use when we pray. It's a lesson in approaching God. And second, it serves as an outline of the whole Christian life. It's observing the different areas of need and concern of the Christian. And it helps focus our priorities as we approach God. You know, this could be said that this is a model prayer from a model teacher. What do we say to God then? We don't have to address all these needs every time we pray, but if we want to spend significant time in prayer, this is a good way to cover all of these things, all of your needs. I would say this, praying the Lord's Prayer, you do these things. Number one, you're praying for the Lord's name to be honored. You know, this is the question from Jeopardy that I referenced earlier. Holy or hallowed be your name. The idea here is that as we pray, we spend some time admiring and honoring God as who he is. He's holy. He is holy. He's perfect. He is deserving of this honor. And it's a great way to begin speaking to God, to honor him as holy. And when we do this, we're showing how much we value God. Even just his name is beyond our reach. He is holy, and yet he hears us as we speak to him. What an amazing thing that is, that God hears us. The God of the universe, who is perfect and holy, who we dare not come into his presence with our sin, he hears us. He wants to hear us. He wants to hear from us. Isn't that a blessing to all of us? Well, number two, we pray for the Lord's kingdom to come. This petition that Jesus gives, your kingdom come, naturally flows from the beginning of this prayer of being holy God. It invites us to realize that what is most important and what we really long for and hope for is God's kingdom to come. God, if you could today, can you bring your kingdom to earth? We've done enough of this on our own stuff. I want the rule and the reign of your kingdom now. I want to witness your victory. I want all of the wicked spiritual forces that attack me every day to be defeated and banished. I want all of my tears wiped away. Are you ready and willing to pray this statement? I know so many of us get caught up in the things here that we love in this world. We are blessed. We love our families. We love our husbands and our wives and our kids. And we love our dogs and cats. We like where we live. We might love the sports we watch. I love the taste of the food that I eat here. I enjoy my music that I play. I don't want to leave anyone out, but I like going to the movies. I like going to the park, to museums and all our art galleries and looking at the beautiful things there. I like going shopping. I like taking a drive and seeing nature. I like going into the forest. I do like camping sometimes. Are we ready to say, you know what, God, as much as I love all the things here, I would give all that up to see your kingdom come right now. Your kingdom come. Then we pray for the Lord's will to be done. If we believe in the kingdom coming, are we ready for God's rule? Then should we not say this next statement? We pray also for God's will to be done in our lives. I want God's will done in my life. I want it done everywhere in this world the way it will be done in heaven. So often I make plans for the future. Do you do that? You make plans for the future. I get caught up in what would make me happiest. And to be honest, in some of those times, I'm not seeking God's will, am I? I've been through two separate instances in the recent months where I was seeking my own will, and God humbled me. I made statements to friends about some things, and then I had to humbly say to them, you know what? Those things aren't going to happen now. It isn't going to work out the way that I had planned. And then I've gone to God on my knees asking what His will is. God, what are you planning for me? This is painful. I don't like it. Whatever you have coming must be awesome because I really thought those other things were going to be awesome. So what are we planning? What are you planning? What are you protecting me from by not giving me what I want? Your will be done. Number four, ask for your daily needs to be met. Jesus tells his disciples to pray for their daily bread. This request, it recalls God providing the manna in the wilderness for the Hebrew people during the Exodus from Egypt. Remember, we talked about that in our Bible class. This is where they merely had to step outside of their tent and pick it up off the ground twice a day, and they were filled. They would just pick it up, and their stomachs were filled. There was no hunting or baking or making or cooking or anything else necessary, though they did do that. Because they got tired of it, you know, humans are very fickle. But when the next day came, that manna was there again, ready for them to eat. We here in North America, we live in this rich society where food is abundant and available. We let this kind of fool us in our lives a little bit. We forget God's involvement in the daily needs that we have. It gets us to thinking that maybe we aren't so dependent on God for this. You know, much of the rest of the world prays this prayer with urgency and desperation. They live truly day to day for what they need. They don't know where the next meal is coming from. Their need is real and it's live every day. This statement here, give us this day our daily bread, it's also a recognition of what we need spiritually, isn't it? Our eternal needs, our spiritual needs. Jesus Himself is the bread of life. He's that daily bread that fills our greatest hunger. He reminds that Samaritan woman early on in His ministry about that. Well, number five says to ask God to forgive you as you forgive others. I believe this one is one that we need to pray more often. Not because God hasn't forgiven us. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was once for all. And those of us who are being saved, this is real. It's live. It happened. But we sin. We sin every day. And to take the time to recognize that, to recognize that our salvation is completely dependent on God, it's very humbling. And so we should take the time to say, God, I did it again. I messed up. I sinned. I need your forgiveness. And I recognize that it's all up to you to do that. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. And Jesus here in this passage, he assumes that the hearer would want forgiveness. He adds also this caveat. Sorry, I hit the wrong direction. He adds this caveat, as we have also forgiven our debtors. If you've gotten the first part down, great. You know, God, forgive me. Now he's saying, forgive others. You forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Forgive like you've been forgiven. That's a little bit harder, isn't it? But Jesus assumes that's what we're going to do. And then he says to ask God to deliver you from the evil one. Our battle is not one which is against flesh and blood, but against the evil spiritual forces. We need God's deliverance from the evil one, from Satan and his demons. In standard Jewish prayer, asking to be protected from temptation was a regular thing. They would not find this an odd thing to say in a prayer to God. God has this won. This battle is his. And a simple prayer here with profound words. So I want to end with us saying this out loud together. If you'll look at the screen, that way we have the same words. You might be using a different translation than I'm using. But this is from the ESV, the English Standard Version. Let's say this prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This prayer is special because it's one that Jesus gave his disciples, one that he taught the people and said, pray this. This is a great way to talk to your Father God in heaven. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear these words. He wants to know what's on your heart for you to pour that out to him and tell him what's going on in your life. You know, that's something that we want to do here too. At 29th and Yale, we want to hear your needs. And so we always have this opportunity in our invitation to pray for you if there's anything that you need. And we want to offer that this morning. So if you have a need this morning, we're going to sing this song of invitation. This is an opportunity for you to come forward and we can pray for whatever need you might have. So let's get ready for that. Let's stand and sing, and we're going to sing this song while if you have a need, come forward and we'll pray for you.